You are listening to the Sermon Podcast from the pulpit of Brookside Baptist Church. For more information, please visit us on the web at brooksidebaptist.org. Now, here's today's message.
Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child. That's exactly what we're trying to accomplish in the lives of our children, whether it be at home, whether it be in your school, whether it be in Sunday school or Awana or children's church or wherever it is. Train up a child. The word train in the Hebrew has a root word that is translated palate. Palate in the mouth. And what they would do would be to take olive oil or figs and rub them on the palate of the newborn baby. That would cause that baby to begin to suck. To train that baby to learn how to suck when its mother's milk was available. Basically, to train our children means to create a desire. To create a desire. And so, in essence, child training is exactly that. To create a desire for that which is right. Because training is not just telling, it's not commanding. In fact, it's even more than teaching. Because after the teaching has occurred, then we have to show them how to do what we want them to do. And once a child knows how to obey, we think, okay, the training is done. No, it's not done. Because once they've developed good habits, that's great. But good habits are not enough, because we can change our good habits into bad habits. There has to be something more developed in the lives of our children than just good habits, than just doing what we ask them to do. They say that horses can be trained until their actions become habits, but it's only when a horse is trained to the point that the horse enjoys the obedience to his master that we can truly say that horse is trained. And the same thing is true with our children. It's only until they reach the point where they enjoy doing what we have taught them to do. So training is accustoming a child to do easily and willingly what he's commanded to do. That means doing it right, doing it habitually, and doing it from the heart. Now here's the key. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life," how to live. And then once we have discovered the path of life, it says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." It's only when our children understand that in God's presence there is fullness of joy. And at the right hand of God there are pleasures forevermore. Because you see, the world wants to tell them, oh, the pleasures are all over here. The songwriter said, "I met Jesus at the crossroads where the two ways meet." Satan came along and said, "Here, follow me." But I said, "No, there's Jesus too. See what he offers me. Down here, my sins forgiven. Up there, a home in heaven. Praise God. That's the way for me." Thou wilt show me the path of life. This is what we as parents and grandparents are to do. To show our children the path of life and then help them to understand that in God's presence there's fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So we teach them, first of all, to do right. That means when they're little, we give them little chores to do and they begin to learn how to obey. We have to give them patient instructions, teaching them exactly how to do that, and for the opportunity then for the child to learn to do it himself. Now, obviously, we can do it faster, we can do it better, but we're trying to teach them how to do it themselves. And so it takes time. It's interesting to know in Lamentations 3:27, it says, "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." It is good for a man that he learned to bear the yoke in his youth. Now, the reason that it says yoke is because a yoke is only good for two partners. And so if a child is bearing a yoke in his youth, that means somebody else is in the other half of the yoke. And that's you and me as parents. And so as we are training our children, we are showing them how to do something. We're showing them how to enjoy doing what's right. We're showing them how to enjoy doing it on time and doing it to the best of our ability. In fact, we're even showing them how to do it before other things that may be more pleasurable. We're teaching them how to work first and then do other things that would be more of an entertaining nature. We're basically working with our children, teaching them how to do it right. We're establishing a reading program, helping them to understand what it means to develop the desire to do right. And then many times we're teaching them little statements, little sayings that will stick with them the rest of their lives. My dad used to say this to me, "Son, shine your shoes daily. Dress for the job you want, not the job you have. Dress for the job you want, not for the job that you have." He also said, "If you don't look like you can do the job when it becomes available, you'll never be considered." And so my dad taught me how to prepare for that which could become a possibility later on, but presently the possibility was not there. Teach them little principles that will go with them throughout life. So teaching them how to do right. Secondly, doing right habitually. Doing right by habit. Basically, refusing the wrong and doing the right every time. And the only way to do that is to share with them the rewards of doing right and the punishment of doing wrong. And many times we have personal illustrations, don't we? Where we can share with them the punishments of doing wrong. Speeding tickets, you know, those kinds of things. While they're watching and they're going, "Dad, why didn't you witness to that policeman?" Well, that's what my grandson said to me one time as I was on the side of the road talking to a police. "Dad, granddaddy, tell him about Jesus." I didn't want to tell him about Jesus. And so he learned by the punishments that he saw granddaddy getting. Now, this is what God wants us to be doing, teaching them to do something right habitually. And that simply means cultivating within the child the power of self-control. Now, you know when that starts? That starts when they're in their infant seats. That starts when they're in the high chair, when they want to get down, but they shouldn't get down. They need to learn patience. They need to learn obedience. When you put them in the car seat and you simply say, "Stay there," without crying. You say, "Well, that's such a small thing." It's not a small thing when you begin to understand you are training them to be patient and to be self-controlled for the rest of their lives. But it starts when they're in the high chair and when they're in the car seat. And as you begin to teach them how to do right habitually, of course, a study of the book of Proverbs, helping them to understand as a child what it means to do right all the time. Then thirdly, doing right by choice. And that's what I want to focus our attention on as we come to a close. Doing right by choice. See, without this training, you simply have children that will follow habits rather than principles. But habits can change. Principles never will. And so doing right from choice. Doing right from choice. We have to show our children the blessings of doing right in our own lives. You see, that's what they're watching. They're watching our lives, and they're watching to see if we are people of joy, if we have fulfillment, if we have pleasure, if we have meaning in our lives. And if we do, then they will begin to follow our lives and ask questions, "Dad, how can I have that kind of joy? How can I have that kind of fulfillment?" But if I as a dad, and if my wife as a mom, if we do not have that, if we're mother grubbing and griping and complaining and just fussing all the time, why would they want our Christianity? Why would they want to live for the Lord? You know, they're basically going, "I don't think so." And that's why if you are teaching your children in an opportunity, maybe homeschool or in a Christian school or Sunday school or whatever, they ought to see the joy of the Lord in your life. And not just when you're teaching. They ought to see it all the time. Because they ought to see that when you do right, you are experiencing the joy and the peace and the satisfaction. And so to develop children of character, we have to be adults of character. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 29, God is speaking to a man that has two sons that were not living the right kind of life. And Eli allowed his sons to do what they wanted to do. The message came to him, "Wherefore kick you at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons before me?" Oh, my goodness. This was a priest of God. This was a man in full-time Christian service. But God said to him, "Eli, you are honoring your sons before me." Then notice what he said, "To make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people." To make yourselves fat. And the Bible tells us a couple of chapters later that Eli was so heavy, pleasingly plump, fat, that when he fell off of his chair, he broke his neck because he was so fat. He was so undisciplined. Isn't it interesting that an undisciplined dad has undisciplined sons? You see, if we are going to be teaching our children character, we have to be parents of character. And so consequently, when the message came that his two sons had been killed in battle, Eli himself died. Why? Because he honored his sons above God. He wanted to be a friend instead of a parent. We have to teach our children to do right by habit, but by choice. We have to just simply be able to share with them, "Listen, these are the blessings of God. This is what God has in mind. And let me tell you what it's like to be able to serve the Lord." And that's why our family devotions every night were around our supper table. And whatever came up during the course of their day, as they would talk about what happened with them or with their friends, and we would talk about, did they experience the blessings of God, or did a friend of theirs have some tough times, we would at that point begin to say, "Okay, now, does the Bible say anything about that? Does the Bible say anything about having a hard time when you are disrespectful to a teacher? Does the Bible say anything about not being able to be successful if you're lazy or if you don't do your work on time?" And then I would reach over and get the Bible and just sit there, and we would begin to talk about their daily activities. See, family devotions are more than just reading a verse here and there, and nobody understands, nobody cares, everybody sleeps through it. Family devotions are scriptures that relate to what they're facing every day. Before we had that kind of a situation, I told my children make-believe stories. It's just kind of something that developed. I would come home and my wife would say, "You better take care of them because I'm going to kill them." I knew it was a tough day. And I said, "Okay, what happened?" She'd tell me. I'd go, "Oh, yeah, I'll take care of them." But at the end of the day, before they went to bed, I'd tell them a make-believe story. And in this story, and I had no clue what I was going to say. I just started talking. And I just started telling a make-believe story. But in my story, I had a goal in mind. Because the children in my story were going to be facing the same situations that my children faced that day. And so I would come to the point where they would be making the decision, right or wrong, and I would stop and I'd say, "Now, what do you think little Susie needs to do?" You know what? They knew the right answer every time. It wasn't a lack of knowledge, was it? It was a lack of will. And so I said, "So if Susie makes the wrong decision, what do you think's going to happen?" Ooh. And so we would finish the story. And I would tell the story and I would say, "But Susie made the right decision. And this is the blessing that she got. And this is the joy that she found in obeying her parents and pleasing the Lord." But boy, it sure is rough when you make the wrong decision, isn't it? You know, it wasn't long after that my boys began to say, "Dad, Has mom been talking to you? Well, now why am I doing that? Because I'm wanting them to understand that there is pleasure at his right hand forevermore, that there is joy in his presence, but the opposite of that is also true. There is lack of meaning, there's lack of fulfillment when you are living for yourself and living a selfish life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. If we want our children to not just turn out to be good kids, but if we want our children to be godly kids and godly teenagers and godly men and women, then it has to be more than just doing right. It has to be more than just doing right habitually. It has to be doing right by choice, because they have learned there is joy in living for Jesus.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like more information about the ministry of Brookside Baptist Church, please visit us on the web at brooksidebaptist.org. Thank you again for listening as we bring the Word of God to your life.